Amen. Oh, I want to see him. Do you want to see him? Amen. He's going to be a wonderful Savior to look upon. But more important to seeing him is going to be able to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You want to make heaven your home? Yeah. If you want to make heaven your home, you're going to have to see him. Not only do you have to see him, you got to hear him. Is that right? You got to hear him first before you can ever see him. Faith coming by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. That's right. We want to welcome you to the Highland Heights Church of Christ. We extend to our visitors a very warm welcome this morning. You are indeed a VIP today. Amen. Is that right, Highland Heights?
Amen.
VIPs, those of you who are visiting with us, not members of the Bloodbought Church of Christ. Yeah, you're a VIP. We want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Let's make it real clear up front. But to become a member, you can't join the church that you can read about in the Bible. Become a member of the Church of Christ, you got to hear that Jesus died on the old rugged cross. Took him down, buried him in a borrowed tomb, and early Sunday morning, he got it with power in his hands. And he gave the greatest commission ever given to go into all the world. Preach that good news that he died and was buried and rose. If a man or woman would believe that good news, make a decision to repent, confess before men that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, then upon the command, we must baptize you in water for the washing away of your sins. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Yeah, we have to do that. And then the Lord under the water will wash the sins away. Give you the Holy Spirit and add you to the body of Christ, the Church of Christ. And that's the only one you ever hear me preach about. Well, the reason why that is there's only one in the Bible to preach about. We believe that the Bible is right. Is that right?
Amen.
The Bible is right. And everyone who want to go to heaven going to have to line up with the book. That's what we're trying to do at Highland Heights. We're awful proud of that. You know, we believe that the Bible is right over us, don't we? And so if you're here today, we maybe it's your first time they've experienced New Testament worship. Never seen it where they didn't have a choir, no guitars and pianos. The reason why that is, we're trying to doing our best to look just like the Church of the Bible. Amen. Somebody say, David used instruments. David wasn't in the Church of Christ.
Amen.
David wasn't in the Church of Christ. Wasn't even established when David was living. Yeah, Jesus had to die. Purchase the church. The Church of Christ didn't come into existence until he died on the cross of Calvary. That's right. He said it himself in Matthew 16, 18. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. And he built it. And the gates of hell didn't hold him. Did that right?
Right.
Amen. It couldn't hold him. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So yeah, David wasn't in the Church of Christ, no. So don't run around here trying to follow David. David dead and gone. There's another one who got up. His name is Jesus.
Amen.
Yeah. So that's what we, the New Testament Christian, you got to be in the Church of Christ to be saved. Somebody said, yeah, we're going to talk more about that today. So I always like to let our visitors know up front. You don't want somebody coming in not understanding up front. There's some things you need to understand. Amen. That's different about us. We're going to preach the straight book, chapter and verse. Is that good? That's right. And people who want to go to heaven, they don't want a whole lot of showboating going on. They want to tell me what thus said the Lord.
Amen.
Is that right? Tell me what what God has said. Somebody said, I came to hear a word from the Lord this morning. Did you come to hear a word from the Lord? Well, good. Open your Bible to Acts chapter 4. Let's go over there. Yeah, go ahead. While you're turning there, I'll make a couple other points. My mother turned 81 yesterday.
Amen.
On the 19th, that was Friday. We celebrated her, bro. And she's in the audience tonight, today.
Amen.
Wonderful thing to have my mother in the audience. Somebody said you said that last week, and if she was here next week, I'd say it. Amen. That's you do what you want to do, but that's my mama. Amen. I always like to tell people, I get to say something whatever I want to say up here. Yeah, I'm going to talk about my mama. That's what you tell me. Yeah, mama, you say what you want to say. Matter of fact, I got a whole host of family. I want all of my family to stand. I got one of my daughters, y'all never met. She's, Winky, you stand first so everybody can see who you are. That's one y'all ain't met yet. Where's she at? Okay, there
Amen.
She is. I thought she was late. I was getting ready to say something. That's one. She's here now. So that's Winkin' and all the rest of my family. I got a whole host of family here today. Come on, stand up, everybody. Everybody related to me. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, a whole bunch of folk. Ain't that good? Amen. All of them right there together. That's what a united family is for. That's the one right there. See, that's mama. That's Shawty. Yeah. I'm the only one, me and my uncle, the only one can call her Shawty. Nobody else. Yeah. Great thing. I'm happy to be a Holland Heights member of the church. At Holland Heights, aren't you?
Amen.
Wonderful thing. I got beat this weekend in golf by Brother Miles. I don't like it a bit. I took first place in two-man scramble. He took first place in three-man scramble. Okay. We'll explain that later. But we want to show, raise your hand so they'll know who won. Boy, that hurt to have to say that him and Baker were together. And then his cousin, that's the one he ain't going to tell you about, the ringer. Wonderful fellowship it was.
Amen.
A great group of men yesterday we met together. Ooh, what a wonderful leadership.
Amen.
I wish we could have just taped that for the church to look at. How we did things decent and in order and the spirit of leadership you got here. And I hope you're proud of it, what we're doing.
Amen.
Amen. We are excited to be united and walking with the Lord's banner before us in unity.
Amen.
And I hope it encourages other brothers who may not be participating. Understand that we need you. Is that right?
Amen.
We want you to feel just as much a part of leadership as we are. That's a wonderful thing to be in a great leadership here. Let's see, one other thing. I wanted to hit this 620 goal. We hit 600, but we're going to soar to 620 before the end of the year. We can do this,
Amen.
Right, Holland Heights?
Amen.
Yeah, we have 620 new members. We already done picked up four. Amen. We want 620 before the end of the year. The only way we're going to do that is go to work. Bring them visitors to here and get during the week. Let's teach Bible classes, whatever we need to do.
Amen.
Let's get this number up there and hit that 620. Can we do it?
Amen.
Amen. I'll tell you, by your straight ahead look, that means you're going to do everything you can to get your mom and dad and sisters and brothers in here to hear the gospel. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. Then next week, we're going to have a wonderful ordination service. Ordain IELTS.
Amen.
That's right. And we want to make that a wonderful day, a great day in the Lord. We asking every member of the Highland Heights to come and bring all of your friends and family to come. And we've sent invitations out to other congregations. Last thing we want is another congregation out number us. This is our event. Amen.
Amen.
It's our event. And we're going to come out in numbers and groves. Is that right?
Amen.
Bring all your unfaithful family members. Bring them with you. Tell them we got a great day planned. A good meal afterwards. People come eat. Gonna get a good meal at 9 o'clock and then a good meal after that. Is that right?
Amen.
Yeah, we want to encourage you to be here for that. Be here for that. All right. I think I got all that behind me. Let me see if I can preach this morning. In Acts chapter 4. We're gonna have a congregational meeting today. We got some exciting things to share. So we're gonna tell you more about that. We want you to make sure you stay. Plan to stay right after worship service and here's some of the things we're getting ready to do in 09. It's going to be exciting. Amen. On last week, in the weeks before, I opened up the book with power, the book of Acts. If you ever want to see the New Testament church at work, you got to go to the big book of Acts. You want to know what the one church of the Bible, how they worship and how people were saved, you got to go to the book of Acts. Nobody in the book of Acts were sprinkled with water or water was poured on their heads, or nobody prayed sinners' prayers to be saved in the Bible. None of the modern day denominational churches are listed in the Bible anywhere. You want the history of the church? Go to the book of Acts. But remember, you can't use the Bible to learn about any modern day denominational church. They're not in there. That's why I'll never preach about one. You can only preach when a man or woman understand that the Bible is right. We only speak where the Bible speak. And we'll be silent where the Bible is silent. And that's why we can only preach one God and one faith. And one church and one body, which is his church. Because we respect the word of God. And then if man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability that God give it. That God in all things may be glorified.
Amen.
And the Bible said in Revelation 22:18, if any man add unto the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall add unto him plagues that are written in this book. If any man take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God will take his part out of the book of life. Any man who call himself a preacher must respect that. We cannot add or take away from the words of God. And the book of Acts taught us, will teach us some things. We learn in chapter 1 about the day he was taken up. Part 2 of chapter 1, we learn how the Matthias was added to the apostles' ministry. Then we learn in chapter 2, there was a day, never a church called Pentecost, but there was a day of Pentecost where Peter stood up with the 11 men and he spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I talked about our tongues. It's just a song. It's just a language. And none of the jabbering and jargon you're hearing today, that wasn't tongue speaking. And I dealt with that extensively. And we talked about how after that, how Peter stood up and preached the first gospel sermon. And he talked about a man that was approved of God. And that man himself was Jesus the Christ, whom they crucified. That's who he was. And then we learn how they gladly, the people who gladly received the word, when it was preached to them, and men and women today who want to be saved, they will not be mad when you preach the word of God to them, because they respect the word of God. And those who gladly received the word were baptized. Not 2 weeks later, not 3 days later, not 30 minutes later, but the same day. That same day they was baptized. And I pointed out to many of us in some of the modern day denominations, church, you go down to be saved, pray a sinner's prayer, and they wait till they get enough candidates before they baptize you. Well, Peter didn't wait. He baptized 3,000 people. And if somebody waited on your baptism, I'd go back to the water. Go back to the water and get it right, like many of us had to do. We come out of these denominational churches. Well, I don't believe that baptism is essential. But Peter on the day of Pentecost preached to the very preached people who crucified our Lord. They asked him what to do. He said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter gave them the answer. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin. You want to be saved today? That's the same message we're preaching over here. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Amen. That's the message. That's the message. And as soon as we can get you, we're going to hurry up and get you to the water. Because you're not saved until you go under there, be buried with Christ. You got to contact the blood of Jesus in order to be saved. And we're going to try to get you to the water quick. Is that right? Somebody walk down here now, we'll stop preaching and baptize you first. Because you're lost. That's right. That's right. What I said. I do. What we do? If a person come down here now, we'll shut it down and baptize them. Why? Because Jesus commanded, the greatest commission was given to go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. And if a man call himself a gospel preacher and don't baptize, he's not Christ's preacher.
Amen.
He's not Christ's preacher. Yeah. And then last week we learned about a man that was laid at the gate. He was healed, is that right?
That's right.
Acts chapter 3, let's go over there now. Got my reader here now, Brother Strauss. Let's see how he do this day. Acts chapter 3 and verse 6, then Peter said,
Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have,
give I thee.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth,
rise up.
Rise up and walk.
Many people claiming to do miracles. I dealt with that in the last CD. You get the CD and you hear about how miracles. The purpose of miracles was to confirm what the apostles were saying, because the New Testament wasn't completed. And so Paul, Peter, and John now, they perform a notable miracle. A man was at the gate begging. And Peter told him, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have. What did he say?
I give thee.
I'm going to give you
in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth.
Rise up
and walk.
Now watch what happens when a miracle is performed by God.
And he took him by the right hand.
He took him by the right hand.
And lift him up.
And the man.
And immediately.
He took him by the right hand. And the man had never walked. And the Bibles don't say he prayed over him and said all of that in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. He didn't do none of that. He said this. Rise up and walk. Then he said what the Bible said, what happened.
And he took him by the right hand.
He took him by the right hand.
And lifted him up.
And he lifted that man up.
And immediately.
And the Bible says 2 days later.
And immediately.
When?
Immediately.
10 minutes after I got through praying.
Immediately.
See, you see what happened when a miracle, real miracle happened? Immediately.
His feet. And ankle bones. Received strength.
Oh! Hey, you see that? Ankle bone. Feet. Never walked. No power in his head. No ever done anything with that ankle bone. And the knee bone. And the ankle bone. And the knee bone. And the ankle bone. Knee bone thought. And you know, all of a sudden, and ankle bones and knee bones work, you can walk. The Bible says immediately. The Bible says what? Did he do what?
He leaping up stood.
And when the ankle bone worked right, and the knee bones are working right, he said to me, he leaped.
And he leaping up stood and walked. And entered with
them. That's good. That was a miracle. Man, they never walked. But when he did, and he told him to get up in the name of Jesus, he rose up immediately. That was a miracle. That's a real miracle. It's a real miracle. No miracles today. Nobody doing that today. I know you see Benny the Hen. No. That's fake. That's all show. Nothing to that. And people don't believe it. Playing on people's emotion and getting their money. They come sick and leave sick. Amen, somebody. Amen. It's the truth. It's the truth. And then in Acts chapter 4, verse 1, he says,
and as they spake unto the people,
watch this,
the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
Now look at this.
And they laid hands on them.
That's good. Let's stop. The purpose of a miracle was for the unbeliever. Because they didn't have. Now I had to go over that again because people have a hard time with this lesson. I don't know why they're so caught up in it. I do know. Because we want to see to believe. That's what it is. You want to see something to see. That's God. Faith don't come by seeing somebody walk a miracle today. Faith come by hearing. But when Peter was preaching, they didn't have the New Testament. So all they had was the power to perform miracles. So the unbeliever who was looking at the miracle would listen to him. It would confirm the word that came from the apostle's mouth with a sign called a miracle. Got that? Y'all got that right? Now this miracle has served this purpose because Peter is now going to preach his second gospel sermon because he performed this miracle. Now notice who's there. Preachers. Priest. Captain, the guard of the temple.
And the Sadducees.
Sadducees are came unto of the them. Jews who don't believe in the resurrection. These people are all there. Now I want you to pay attention to something. Because it takes bold gospel preachers to go into the temple, into another religious group, and preach the truth. This guy, Peter and John, these are bold gospel preachers. And I'm saying today we need bold gospel preachers in the pulpits of churches of Christ that are not ashamed of the gospel, not afraid of the people, and will take the consequence that comes with preaching the truth. Peter and John stood up in the midst of false doctrine to proclaim the truth of Jesus Christ. And we need this in America, where bold Church of Christ gospel preachers will stand up and preach against the different churches and religions. We are Christians. And we don't believe any church will do. We'll never preach or attend the church of your choice. A God is a God. Freedom of religion is a constitutional freedom, not doctrinal. The Bible don't give us freedom of religion. God is a jealous God. Some members of the Church of Christ don't want this. They don't want a preacher who we're going to have to say it. But you got to remember something, that we are among the few, not among the many. And if you listen to Jesus in Matthew 7:13, enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way to lead to destruction, and many go that way. But straight is the gate, narrow is the way to lead to life, and few find it. Everywhere you read of the many, they're in trouble.
Amen.
Jesus said in Matthew 7:21, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord,
shall enter
the kingdom of heaven, but he that do the will of my Father. Notice what he says. Many will say, Lord, do we not prophesy? And they just pick me up anytime I'm pausing like that.
Lord, Lord.
Yeah.
Have we not prophesied in thy name?
Many going to ask this question.
And in thy name,
cast out devils.
And in thy name, done many wonderful works.
Good people ask Jesus the question. Many of them. But the book say.
And then
Jesus said,
I will confess unto them.
Unto whom? These good people. I never knew you. There it is. Who are you talking to? The few or the many? See, our goal is to reach the few among the many. Mm-hmm. We want to save the world. Bible already told us. God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Mm-hmm. Then he comes back and tells us, there's only a few of them going to receive it. Going to be many of them that day going to stand there. They're going to say, Lord, but we did these things. We did this and we did that. Going to be standing outside the gate. Can't make it in. Get for me Luke 12:13 and verse number 23. Somebody say, well, you're saying only a few people going to be saved. I'm saying that the Bible tells us that. Those few people must hear the truth. Take bold gospel preachers to tell them. The Bible says in Luke 13 and verse number 23, Then said one unto him, yeah,
Lord, are there few that be saved?
They point blank asked Jesus the question. Are you saying only a few going to be saved? What did he say to them?
And he said unto them, strive to enter in at the straight gate.
Why?
For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be
able. They're that many again. They're in trouble. Now the question becomes, will you be among the many or the few? See, in the Church of Christ, we want to be among the few.
Amen.
Now you say, well, that few is not important. You go back to Noah's Ark days then. God told him for 120 years by one preacher to move into the boat, one ark. And the Bible says in 1 Peter 3 and the verses number 20, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, wherein few, that is eight souls,
were saved
by water. Tell me it ain't a few. The first time he opened up the deluge of heaven, that one boat floating on water was one place for the saved people to be. It was in Noah's Ark. And the Bible records only eight people. That is, few people got in that one ark. And that ark today is the Church of Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, only a few people will be in it. It's only one place. Noah could have preached to turn the ark of your charge. He didn't preach that. And I'm just the kind of preacher that'll see it. Just the kind of preacher that'll see it. It's stamp me with that one. Give me that label. That's the label I want. I'm going to be right there with Peter and John. Listen to verse number 2. Go back to Acts 4. That's good enough. I just made the point about that future.
Being grieved that they taught the people.
Yeah.
And preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead.
Now here's the thing. It's going to upset some folk when you preach truth. It's going to disturb. It'll grieve a preacher who don't preach baptism is essential when I preach it is. He going to be grieved when he listen to me. And not only is he going to be grieved, all those who listen and believe like that will be grieved and disturbed. And some of you today may be already disturbed. And that's how you know. You know what that pastor says? I ain't listening. It's not me. See, here's the thing about it. You grieve, see? Because here's the problem. When people are taught truth, it goes against a belief system. Every one of us got a belief system. Some of us believe because we read the Bible. Some of you got a belief system because that's what mama believed. And mama's belief system because that's what her mama believed. And none of you read your book. So you carry a book around saying you believe in this, but your belief system is not based on this. And anytime you read something in this that you think you believe in this, it tells you you don't believe in this, and you get grieved because you think you believe in this and you don't believe in this. So you're grieved. You're disturbed by that. It stirred me the first time I heard it. How many of you got disturbed the first time you heard it? Yeah, you got to be honest. To be saved, you got to be honest. Because you had to admit you're wrong. See, I already knew as a church guy preacher, I'm going to grieve some people. When you start telling people there's only one church, it's going to upset them. You're going to grieve them, Brother Miles. Disturb them. Stir them up. Because you know what? They don't want to believe this one church thing. You preach that oneness of the church, you start preaching the doctrine of Christ, and you preach against the doctrine of men, you got a problem. These leaders here were grieved with the preaching of Peter and John. They're grieved, they're bothered. But remember this, only strong teaching will bring grievances. If you go to a place and you agree with everything he say, and you read the book, you can agree as long as he is consistent with the book. But when he get away from the book, somebody ought to say something. These people are bothered specifically because, see, remember the belief system of this sect of the Jews, the Sadducees, is that there is no such thing as a resurrection from the dead. So Peter getting ready to disturb them. See, because you got to preach Jesus, you got to preach resurrection. But the Sadducees don't believe in resurrection. This is against the grain. This would be like me going into a local denominational church and preaching the message I'm preaching this morning. They wouldn't want to hear. It'll be some disturbed people when I tell them the choirs weren't in the New Testament. The New Testament church never used instruments, mechanical instruments of music. That they're supposed to take the Lord's Supper every day. Every Sunday, excuse me. Not once a month. It would disturb them for me to walk in there and say, you know, the church that you attend is not in the Bible. And sure enough, it'll disturb the reverends. Oh, yeah. When I say holy and reverend is God's name, you shouldn't call a man reverend. That's what the book says, Psalm 111, verse 9. I'm going to disturb the priest of the Catholic Church when I say, call no man father, like Jesus said it. It's going to disturb him. It's going to disturb him. Yeah, tighten your belts up, because acts I'm going to have to just point out and cause some things. And some people have a little discomfort with that. You know, it's kind of like this, you know, for me. Wow. I mean, you got a little discomfort with truth then. That's really what you got. Make it sound, I mean, they going to figure it out, how to preach. Oh, really? Well, why I can't say it if they got it figured out? Well, you don't want to run them off. When people receive with meekness and word of God, and they seeking the truth, truth don't run people off. No, truth don't run people off. Confusion do. And sometimes we leave people confused and guessing. Was he trying to say that? Oh, man, did I read? Did I get that? Was he trying to say you're supposed to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Was he trying to say that if you're not in the Church of Christ, you're not saved? That couldn't have been what he meant. I'm confused. Did I help him? I'm trying to say exactly what I mean to say. You say, what do you mean to say? I meant to say that you have to take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. I meant to say that you must be in the Church of Christ to be saved. I will also go on the record and say there are not Christians in every church. Christians are only in the Church of Christ. And they say, that's the problem I got with you folk now. Really, the problem is not with you folk. The problem is God is in this book. There are no other churches for Christians to be in. And to say there's Christian in all churches is to say there are more than one. That like the back saying there was people in all of the boats, but it was, how many boats were there?
One boat.
So I'm going to disturb some people like that. What would this do? It's going to grieve leaders. It's going to disturb them. And I know these CDs I preach going all over the world. It's disturbing people. Matter of fact, I got some calls about something last Sunday. I don't know what they preached. I don't know what Ricky put on there, but it was something to disturb some folk. Yeah, they disturbed by it. And this CD is going out called The Day of Pentecost. It's stirring up some folk. And that's what it should do. And I hope it disturb them so much that they'll go and read behind me. If you read behind me in the Bible, you read yourself right out of what you're in into the Church of Christ. You can't find nothing else in it. Not many preachers in town, in this city or in the world, preaching there's only one church, as the Bible says. Ephesians 4:4, Bible says what there? There is one Lord, one faith.
And one baptism.
One baptism. One God and Father of all who is above all in you all. One body, which is the church. That body, according to Colossians 1:18, that body is the church. How many does it talk about in the Bible? One. How many Lords in the Bible?
One.
One. So if I can't preach any Lord will do, any body will do, any church will do, I can't preach any Lord will do, I can't say any God will do if I'm going to use this book. Somebody that's listening for truth, you got to understand that. You ought to understand that. You ought to understand that. What is the body? The body is the church. Ephesians 1:22. For above all, come on, Richard. Above all, principality, power, and might and dominion.
Above every name, and has given and has put all things under his feet,
and gave him
to
what?
And gave him to be head
over
all things.
To what?
To the church.
To the churches.
To the church.
To the church of choice.
To the church.
To the church,
which is his body.
What's the body?
The church.
The church. Go to Ephesians 4:4 now and say, how many bodies?
There is one body.
How many?
There is one body.
How many?
There is one body.
So if there is one body, there is only one what?
Church.
Not many preachers preaching this. Not many preachers preaching against women preachers. But the Bible said in 1 Timothy 2:12, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp the authority
over the man.
Over the man. She's to be silent.
But to be in silence.
She not should be preaching. Women, according to this book, women should not be preaching. 1 Corinthians 14. And then verse 34, let your women
let
keep
your
silent.
Women keep silence in the
church. In the church. For?
For it is not permitted.
She don't have permission to preach. Not many preaching that one. Not many preaching against one saved, always saved. Galatians 6:1 says this. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault,
let him,
ye who are spiritual, restore.
Such a
if
one.
If you cannot be, if you once you're saved, you always say, there's no need for this verse. You don't have to restore something that never fell. False doctrine. Paul, they thought they was talking about this in Romans chapter 6. Paul was talking about how grace far outranged sin in Romans chapter 5 and in chapter 6 in verse 1. He said, what shall we say?
What then? Shall we say then?
What shall we say then about what?
Shall we continue
that
in sin?
That you think grace going to save you even if you continue in sin. Shall we continue in sin?
That grace may abound.
That grace may abound.
God
for thee. No.
How shall we?
Exclamation mark. No. Grace don't cover you in sin. You got to obey God in order to be saved. If you be saved today and go live again, go. Let me give you an example. If you were shacking before you baptized and you go home and you still shacking, you lost. You got to give it up. Yeah, you got to give it up. Can't get baptized and go back and live in sin. Not many bold preachers, they preach against homosexuality. Romans 2:24 tells me something, though. You got to preach against it. That's what bold preachers got to do. You got to preach against Romans chapter 2 and the verses number 24 through 28. Listen to the book now.
Being justified freely by his grace.
Yeah.
Through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus.
Read.
Whom God has set forth to be a perpetuation through faith in his blood.
You hear Romans 2? Romans 1, verse 24, that's what I want. Romans 1, 24,
Wherefore God also gave them up.
To uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts.
To dishonor. To dishonor
their own bodies between themselves. It's a dishonor. For a man to lay with another man and a woman to lay with another woman. You got to preach it. I'm a gay activist. No. I got to stay with God, but God is saying, he said it's a dishonor who changed the truth of God into a lie.
Truth of God.
That's what's going on in California. That's what's going on in the Episcopal Church. Changing the truth of God into a lie.
And worship and serve the Creator more than the creature.
Yeah. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affection. Even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
And
it
likewise,
is against nature for a woman to lay with another woman. That is not natural use. You're gonna have to repent of it.
And likewise the men.
Also men. This is master to men than a woman.
The natural use of the woman.
I said. Man. Nasty, man. To me. God, all sin is nasty. All of it is. Not a categorization of it either. Now, this is not a bigger sin than the other ones. There's some members of the church guy who don't come back to evening service just like that person. So let me bring you back and get you back here while you're laughing about them. Put you back in check. Well, I don't believe that. That's the problem now. That's your problem now. We're talking about you don't believe it. Faithfulness is important. So, you don't like it when I put you in the same category as the rest of them, huh? Talk about the homosexuals. Let's talk about sinners. I was getting at is that men, you know, it just, to me, that's just gross. Look like it's gross to God according to the way he said it.
Burn in their lust one toward another.
Yeah.
Men with men working that which is unseemly.
Receiving
in themselves the
recompense of their error, which was me. Even as they did not like
to retain God in their knowledge,
God gave them over
to a reprobate mind
to do
those things
that's nasty,
which are not convenient.
So you got to preach it. They're not going to like you for it because they want to say things like this. Well, God made us all different. And, you know, you different and I'm different and God still loves us all. Well, you might well put the Bible up and just believe whatever you want to believe. And that's not what the book just said. He put the lie right there with him. So he's saying all of you got to give it up. If it's wrong against God's will, you got to change some things. And that's why we come to the church, to learn what we have to change. So if you are dealing with homosexuality, you can stop. You can repent just like the rest of us. And you know, that may not be my sin. It might be your sin. But all of us dealing with something.
Amen.
So we ain't looking down on people, but you got to point it out. You can't sugarcoat it. Make them feel better. There's a lot of things I got to preach against. I don't have time. I could preach against infant baptism, baptizing a baby. How can a baby believe? Talking about we going to Christian the baby and he needs to be saved. That baby don't need to be saved. That baby is safe. I said safe. He didn't know what to do a good and do it not. To him is sin. The baby don't know yet. The baby Jesus said, he that believe and is baptized shall be saved. That's a conjunction, coordinate conjunction, binding belief and baptism together. You can't baptize someone who don't believe.
Amen.
Baby don't believe in Jesus. They believe in that bottle. Want to baptize a baby and then charge folk for it. Preaching against sinner's prayer. This is a serious one to me, my mind. Here's you one. Here's everybody set where you are today. Repeat after me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. You know how many people are preaching this? Telling thousands of people to sit down and listen to the word of God. And they get away from the word of God when it comes to salvation. They tell the people to sit there and they tell them, you know, repeat after me. Well, why? Jesus didn't just say it from the cross. Repeat after me, everyone. He didn't say that. He said, go preach the gospel to them. If they believe it, baptize them for the remission of their sins. Why? Because God doesn't hear and answer a sinner's prayer. That's John 9:31, Isaiah 59:1-2, Isaiah 1:15, Proverbs 2. It's so many scriptures tell us that. But Jesus came that we might be saved. We among the minority. I'm among the minority of preachers. There's a consequence, though, that come with preaching truth. Listen to verse number 3.
And they laid hands on them and put them in hold until the next day.
Yeah.
For it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed.
Verse 3. They laid hands on them. Peter and John and put them in jail. That's what they're telling them. Because it was too late in the evening to have this hearing. Then in verse 4 he said, How many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of them was about 5,000. Very important. No matter what you say, there are always people like us who want to know truth. There will be people who will obey truth when they hear it. There are people who are going to church building after church building listening for someone to tell them what to do that they can believe what they read. You can't believe your baptism not essential and then read what Jesus said is. You're going to be saying, I don't understand. And so they'll leave that a person who is seeking. And they'll go where preachers say what Jesus said. Because if you read it, you can believe it. And there are people in our families and friends and neighbors who want to know truth. And even in this Jewish synagogue, the Bible says here, there are people who heard what Peter was saying and believed. And the number of them were about what? 5,000. It went from 3,000. And then this second gospel message brings another 2,000 people who are now, we're up to 5,000 Christians. What did Peter preach? He preached the gospel to them that Jesus died, was buried, rose again. He preached truth. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers, the elders, the scribes, Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander,
and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together.
A lot of kinfolk there too. A lot of times you got to be careful, you got to just follow in your kinfolk. Well, you know, that just go. And I talked about that last week, how we get too caught up in what mama did and what daddy did. Mama don't stand for you on the day of judgment, daddy don't stand. And if you really care about your family, when you find truth, you obey it and try to get your mama and daddy to it. That's what you do. You don't let mama and them, you say, they lost, I'm going to be lost. What kind of sense did that make? What kind of sense did that make? I was born this, I'm going to die this. That don't make sense to me. Like saying, I'm going to leave all my family in the house to burn up. It doesn't make sense to me. I said to me, big guys are there, huh? High priest is there. Caiaphas is there. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked.
They asked, by what power or by what name have ye done this?
Now watch this as I zip through this. They said, now how did you guys heal this guy? Where did y'all get this power or what name? What power? Where did it come from? Or what name did you do it in? Watch what he says.
Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them.
That's why there's no private interpretation. When Peter says something, he said, you rulers of Israel.
You rulers of other
people.
And elders of Israel. If we this day be examined of the good deed done to this impotent man, by what means is he made whole?
See, that miracle is working. The miracle is allowing Peter to preach the gospel. That was the purpose of miracles. We don't need a miracle today to give us opportunity to preach the gospel. What we have is the Bible. And in America, most people got the Bible in their homes. And then he says,
be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doeth this man stand here before you whole.
He answered the question, didn't he? They said, by what power, by what name? By what name? Where did that power come from? That power came from this name. But what's that name? And he reminded them, it's Jesus
Christ of Nazareth.
Of Nazareth, whom?
Whom you crucified.
The guy you hung on the cross, remember? Now he's bringing to remembrance and he's preaching to them the death, burial, and the resurrection, which is the gospel. And every sermon should include death, burial, and resurrection. Even by him does this man stand you. So he said, whom you crucified, God raised him up. In verse 11, he says, he started quoting the Old Testament. This is a stone
which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner.
Watch this.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved.
No other name. No other name under heaven. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. This is why I cannot preach Buddha, Muhammad, Allah, There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. See, there's only one name that you can be saved in. That's why I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Get Acts 11, 26. Acts 26.
Acts 11, 26.
Yeah.
And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people.
Uh-huh.
And disciples were called Christians first.
Now notice,
in Antioch,
in that word Christian, the first part of Christian is Christ. Because there's power in that name. You see that? So I'm a Christian because I'm a follower of Christ. But just calling yourself a Christian don't make you a Christian. These people were Christians because they did what Christ said do. You have to keep the commands of Christ to be a Christian. Agrippa says in Acts 26, 28, I think it is, 28,
Acts
26. What did he say? He said,
28.
Thou almost.
Then Agrippa said unto Paul,
thou almost.
Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian.
We've almost persuaded a lot of people to be Christians. 1 Peter 4, 16, other places written. It's three times, three times in the New Testament. The name of those who follow Christ is Christian. No suffixes and prefixes. Not Baptist Christian, Methodist Christian. None of that was in the book. Catholic Christian, none of that. Just Christians. He said, Brother Brooks, I grew up a Baptist. I did too, but it still ain't in there. So I had to quit calling myself a Baptist Christian because there was no Baptist Christians. My mama was a Baptist Christian. My daddy was a Baptist Christian. Until we learn better, we stop saying. When we learn better, you stop talking like that. I got to close this out. It's good stuff. And notice what he says.
Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus.
Now notice this.
And beholding.
Hold on. See, when you with the master teacher, the folk said, these men must have been with Jesus. See, they've been with the master teacher. They were guided by the Holy Spirit. This thing is reverberating, guys. Something needs to turn down a little bit. Okay. And beholding
the men.
Look now, beholding means
with them.
Look the man. What are they looking at? The man. What happened?
They couldn't say nothing against it.
What man? Huh? Remember that man? Huh?
The impotent man.
Y'all remember the man that was at the gate? He had been laying there for years. And they seen this man up leap. Remember the Bible said he up leap. He walked and praising God going into the temple. And they looking at him. And they said, by what name of thought power y'all get that from?
By the name of Jesus of Nazareth.
Now they answered the question. Here's where the power came from. By the name
of Jesus
of Nazareth.
Of Nazareth.
What name was it? It was Jesus of Nazareth. Notice this. They could say nothing against it. That's verse 14. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council,
They conferred among themselves.
Now, when you know something is true, you got to go, man, what are we going to do? This is obvious. So they're going to talk among themselves.
Saying, what shall we do to these men?
Read on.
For that indeed a notable miracle.
What they call it?
A notable miracle.
Have been done by them.
Been done by them is manifest to all.
It's made known to everybody that saw it.
That dwell
know what they say
in Jerusalem, and we cannot.
We can't deny it.
Deny it.
See, when God performs a miracle, it's undeniable. But many of us look at that stuff on TV and we deny that. We say, "Oh, that ain't true." Then in verse 17,
but that is spread no further among the people.
They can't deny, but they don't want other people to hear about it. Read.
Let us strictly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name.
So what did they conclude? What did they conclude? They conclude the truth was the power was in this name. So we don't want, here's what we can't do. We can't say he lied because the miracle proved there was some power that came with that name. But what we can do is make sure we threaten them people. Don't you go over there with them church guy folk no more. They believe what they believe and we believe what we believe. You stay off around them. Be careful about that. What they're telling you to do is stay off around what you're starting to question. See, if you go back and ask your preacher, ask him why he don't take the Lord's Supper. Well, who you been talking to? The Church of Christ preachers? Yeah. You stay off around them, folk. That's exactly what they're going to tell you. What they're doing is threatening you. You quit questioning us. I know they do it because many people done went back. So I'll just go ask my preacher. They go ask him. And you come back to me, I'm going to say the same thing. Yeah. Many honest people, when they ask him, they didn't give him an answer. That's why they out of them today. Is that right? Many people in this audience probably did just that. Couldn't answer the question. Then he says what?
And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus.
Now you see, that would be like somebody coming here, the Brooks, you can't teach that no more. And what did Peter say to him?
But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot.
He basically put it back on them. Listen, let's do some psychology here. Now you should I listen to you or God? you got to ask. See, when you go to before a religious leader and he tell you not to listen to God, to listen to him, you judge that thing. You say, "Now, is that smart?" But Peter came back and said, "Now, is it smart, God, that I listen to you and not God?" Now, if somebody's showing you something in the Bible, that's God speaking to you. And the man said, "Well, that's what it say, but that's not what it means." Now, is that wise for you to listen to that? It says what it means. Then in verse 20, but he said,
we cannot speak the things which we have seen and heard.
See, when you preach, when you love the truth, you can't do nothing but speak truth. Then in verse 21, he says, so when they had further threatened them,
they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorify God for that which was done.
Who's getting the glory? What was done? The miracle was performed. What was the purpose? To confirm what Peter was saying. Who gets the glory? God. When I preach the truth, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability God give it, that God gets glory. See, God get glory when you preach truth.
Amen.
God don't get no glory when you sugarcoat it.
Amen.
How do I know? Go to Isaiah. Get Isaiah chapter. Let's go over there. We're talking about smooth thing. You know what I said? Isaiah chapter 40. Get there for me, preachers. Isaiah 30, verse 8. 30 and verse 8. Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 8. What did he say?
Now go. Write it before them in a table.
Note it in a book.
And note it in a book that it may be for the time to come forever and ever.
Read.
That This is a rebellious people.
Lying children.
Lying children.
Children that will not hear the law of the Lord.
The law of the Lord.
We say to the seer.
We say to the seer, see not.
To the prophet.
To the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things.
Don't tell us what's right.
Speak.
Speak.
Unto us smooth things.
You know, a lot of people today want you to just tell them what sound good. You can't do that and be a bold gospel preacher. I'm trying to close. When they further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, for all men glorify God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old. Talking about the man that, on whom the miracle
whom
was healing
this
was
miracle
showed.
Of healing was showed.
Now this guy was over 40 years before he ever walked. These people knew this man. And they knew that God had performed the miracle. And what name was that miracle performed in? Jesus' name. And maybe somebody today, you need healing. Now, I'm not talking about physical healing.
Amen.
Talk about spiritual healing. Get Isaiah 53 as I close. Because many times this text is preached when it comes to physical healing. But he hung on the old rugged cross to provide to us spiritual healing. And maybe there's somebody today with physical illnesses in your body. You're going through some trouble in your life. You're going through something in your marriage. You're troubled at heart. You say, preacher, what you got for me? There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in his name. And that name can help you go home healed spiritually, mentally. You can hear him call to you as he hangs on the cross saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Might be a mother here. You're struggling with your children and you need some mental healing. You need some spiritual healing. You need God to be with you, help you with those children. You need some healing this morning. I say the name is in Jesus. The power is in the name. And neither does salvation any other. For there's none other name under heaven given among men. Who shall believe our report? To whom
is the arm of
the Lord revealed?
For he shall grow up.
He shall grow
before
up. Before like a tender plant.
As a tender plant. And as a
root
out
of
the dry ground.
He
has no form
he has
nor
no comeliness.
And when we shall see him.
When you go see
there
him.
There is no beauty.
He's not a beautiful
man.
Him. That you don't desire. Read.
He is despised,
he was
and, rejected
despised
man,
and rejected
a
man.
A man of sorrows.
A man of sorrows.
And acquainted with grief.
And acquainted with
and
grief.
And we hid as it
as
were
it hid our
face
word,
from
our
him.
Our face from him.
He was despised.
He was despised.
And we esteemed him not.
And we esteemed him not.
Surely he has
surely
borne our griefs.
He had borne our griefs. Here's where I want to be. He had carried.
And carried our sorrows.
Our sorrows.
Yet.
When did he borne our grief? And when did he carry our sorrow? It was on a hill. Far away. Stood an old rugged cross. It was an emblem of suffering and shame. And on that cross they hung in between the twilights of two worlds, drove nails in his hands and in his feet. There he hung on that cross, carried my sorrows and carried my griefs, carried my mama's sorrows and carried my mama's grief, carried my daddy's sorrows and he carried my daddy's grief. On that cross he stayed 6 hours, and he stayed for me. And he stayed for my spiritual healing on that cross. He stayed for my children on that cross. He stayed for my family on that cross. He stayed for the Church of Christ on that cross. He stayed for men like me that will stand before lost and dying world, people who were suffering and trouble at heart to preach that good news that they led him up that hill, carried the sorrows, carried the grief, and the Bible says that he did. It says that
we esteemed him stricken, smitten of God,
and
afflicted. But he was wounded.
He was wounded. He was wounded on that cross for our transgressions. He was wounded for me, and he was wounded for you. He was wounded for my sins, and I know I messed up a whole heap, and I know you have too. But he stayed there, man. He was wounded for Brooks' sins. I couldn't have saved myself. You see, he was wounded for my transgressions, and the Bible says he was
bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes,
there it is,
we are healed.
The stripes, when they hit him with the whip, the blood trickled out of the stripes. That's not physical healing. That blood brings spiritual healing. And by them stripes, that blood,
we're healed.
Will heal us. Somebody, they need healing, don't you? Somebody need healing. I want to know who it is. See, you say, Brother Brooks, I don't know what to do no more. I'm at the end of my road. You know, many of us where you are before. We didn't know what else to do. But when you don't know what to do, you turn to the Lord and let the Lord tell you what to do. And if you're here today and you're at your end, I'm saying you need spiritual healing. That's what I'm saying to you. And you come by hearing that he did die for you. And that he was buried in a tomb. And resurrected early Sunday morning. And you hear that from that powerful name of Jesus. That name can save you. You believe that he is the Son of God. You believe that? You can have spiritual healing this morning. Then you repent. You say, I want to change my life. That's repentance. I want to come home to the Lord. And if you're a prodigal, you need to repent and come home. If you're one who never obeyed the gospel, not a member of the Church of Christ, you must repent of that. And say, I'm going home today. I want to be a member of the church I can read about in my Bible. I want to be under a preacher who's going to preach nothing but Bible to me. Book, chapter, and verse. You found the right place. We're going to ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? You must say, I believe, like the eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, that he is the Son of God. And then what are we going to do? Baptize you. Why? For the remission of the washing away of your sins. Acts 2:38. What is baptism? Your death of the old man, a burial with Christ, Galatians 3:26. Wash away sin, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16. Receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2:38. Born again of the water and of the Spirit, John chapter 3. 1 in the following verses. Then Lord adds you to the church, Acts 2:47. He adds you to the church of the Bible. Which one is it? Church of Christ. Why? Because there's power in that name. He said, I'll build my church. You know, if you see him now, you see a Savior who softly calls. I hear him as he talked to his apostles. And he said to them as he got ready to leave, he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. Just seemed like he had a soft voice when he called the people, when he says, come unto me. Can you hear your Savior calling? Softly and tender, he's calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Who should come? Those who have never been baptized before, you should be the first one down here. Should have been down here about halfway through the sermon. Those who were baptized before but never were a member of the Church of Christ, that baptism wasn't valid and you're still lost. You must be obey the truth to be saved. You got to obey truth. And you say, well, Brother Brooks, you're saying, I got to be baptized again? You never was baptized. Right, just got wet. Need to be baptized according to truth. Then, Lord, wash your sins away. Contact the blood of Jesus and the Lord adds you to the church. Then the third person that should come, members of the church who went prodigal. You say, I wanted to fall away from home, but now I'm coming. Why are you coming home? Because softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come on. Please no walking to the back unless you're absolutely sick or something. Everything right now should be focused on salvation. This is the Lord's call. If you're here today and you want to come, here's what I encourage you to do. Don't think twice. You already made your decision. The devil don't want you to move. And he don't want you to move. He know you're a husband. Your wife been praying for you. And you don't put it off long enough. And he know you're a wife and you don't put it off. If he can get you to put it off one more time, maybe God will take your life on the way home. And he got you because you locked your knees up. But he didn't lock them. You did. You locked them because you could have walked. Would you do like that lame man who was lame and sick when they raised him up by the power of Jesus? The Bible says he raised up and he walked immediately. So when you stand up, walk as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement, softly and tenderly. Come on to the Lord. Come on to him this morning. Come on to him. Don't hesitate. Come on to the Lord. God bless you. God bless you. Come on. Come on to God. Come on to him. God bless you. Come on. Ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Jesus is calling. Oh, sinner. Oh, sinner, come home. Come on home this morning. Somebody real close, you need to come to the Lord. Why wouldn't you come?
Why should we tarry when
Jesus is the one calling? He's pleading.
Pleading for you
and for me.